Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is April 26th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. Now, I had an interesting idea for this episode. I was going to do my live reaction to each pick in the first round of the NFL draft. After doing it, I kind of realized that I was kind of repeating a lot of what the guys on the draft were saying, and I didn't want to make you guys hear every single draft pick with almost the same commentary about each pick. So I do have a few reactions mixed in there, live reactions of me when the picks were announced, and then other ones that I'm just going to talk about now. I'm going to run through each pick in the first round of the NFL draft. The first one started off, Kyler Murray was selected as the first pick in the NFL draft. Now, of course, I had in my mock draft the Cardinals choosing Nick Bosa. Part of that was a gut feeling. Part of that was to be the contrarian, I guess. But the media was right on this one. The Cardinals ended up choosing Kyler Murray despite the Cardinals getting Josh Rosen last year in the first round. So that means that, one, Josh Rosen is likely gone, whether it's going to be a trade. There's a speculation that both could be on the team. I don't see that happening. So look for teams like the Redskins got Haskins, so I guess they're a little out of the mix there. I guess the Dolphins and basically just keeping him on the team are some of the only options right now for Josh Rosen. So really keep an eye on that. But Kyler Murray is a very exciting player, the most dynamic offensive threat in this rookie class. And the Cardinals are frankly a franchise that needed some sort of excitement. Like, wins aside, they were a very, very boring team to watch. So there's no doubt from an exciting standpoint, this raises their value tremendously. And Cliff Kingsbury got his guy. He doesn't have to attach his tenure with some other quarterback that a different regime picked. Kind of like what happened with the Dolphins, Adam Gase, and Ryan Tannehill. He attached his success to a quarterback who was already there. Cliff Kingsbury will not have that excuse. He brings in the guy he wanted, and it's just all up to him now. All the blame will fall on him. This is the guy you picked. We traded away our other first round pick because that's likely what's going to happen. All in favor of what you want to do. So it's all going to fall now on this new regime. Nothing from the past. This is all on the current staff right now. Now, the San Francisco 49ers, probably even least less surprising than the Kyler Murray pick, went with Nick Bosa, who is, I think, the best player in this draft. This is someone me and my friend were talking about like a whole year ago, and we were thinking about, well, who's going to be the first pick next year? We're probably like, okay, it's going to be Nick Bosa, and then the quarterback class is weak, so a few guys maybe here and there. Well, in comes Kyler Murray with a tremendous year. Nick Bosa, the consensus best player, I think, all around. The only difference is he doesn't play the quarterback position. There were all the controversies with his social media account, but you know, he's a tremendous football player. The San Francisco 49ers made the move, and they got him the third pick. Another one that was unsurprising, and that's why I don't want my live reactions of these. Quinnen Williams, a defensive tackle out of Alabama, goes to the Jets, a really big defensive force that could potentially apply some pressure to Tom Brady, who's been chilling in that pocket for nearly two decades now. And then the Oakland Raiders. Here is my reaction to the Oakland Raiders pick.
Oh, wow. I had him going 13 to the Dolphins, and frankly, I thought that was really early. But like I said, I really liked what I saw out of Farrell. He looked explosive, and I liked him the most out of all the Clemson defensive linemen. But I'm a little shocked to see him going so high. But you know what? I liked what I saw on tape from him. He looked explosive. He's very big. He's very quick. You know, I can't hate on it, but like I said, I just assumed he would be going further back.
Now, again, I don't think Farrell was a bad pick, but it was just a little surprising to see how early he went with the fourth pick for the Raiders. Five, Devin White, the linebacker out of LSU, just a very solid overall pick. There's no knock on that at all. And now pick six, probably the most shocking pick of the entire night, the New York Giants pick Daniel Jones. And here is my reaction to that pick.
Okay, pick number six. Now it's getting crazy. The Giants went out and picked Daniel Jones. Holy, like, oh my God. Thank God. This is a huge weight off my shoulders knowing the Dolphins can't pick him. This is incredible. At pick number six over Dwayne Haskins and Drew Lock. I guess those rumors about his value really going up. I mean, I'm not going to doubt him and say that he's going to be bad because, like I said, Josh Allen, I thought was going to be the worst quarterback last year, ended up impressing me, so maybe he could do that. But this just looked like the most vanilla pick you could make. now things are getting exciting. I'm anxious to see if the Giants' whole fan base is kind of blowing up right now, if it's like in turmoil. This is crazy.
Now we move on to pick number 7, and that is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Josh Allen, who frankly I was surprised fell this far. He was one of my favorite defenders in this entire draft. He falls to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I honestly don't think the Jaguars wanted to go defense just because their defense is already stacked. But when you have a talent like that just staring right back at you in the face, there's nothing else to do. They invest again on their defense to get Josh Allen out of Kentucky at pick number 7. Now pick number 8, here's one I finally got right. According to my mock draft, the Detroit Lions pick tight end TJ Hockenson out of Iowa, who a lot of people are calling the Gronkowski of this draft class. I think that's a bit of a reach. I personally still like Noah Fant more, and I said that in the previous episode, but the Lions, who basically invested in Eric Ebron, was a massive disappointment. He goes off to Indianapolis. He absolutely balls out. I know that kills them to see that. They go out and they get a tight end who can hopefully replicate what Ebron did in Indianapolis. Now, pick number 9. Here's another one that I have a little bit of a reaction for. It's pick number 9 for the Buffalo Bills, Ed Oliver out of Houston. Here is my reaction.
Oh, no. That's not the guy I want to see up against Miami twice a year. That's not who I want to see, man. Oh, that's a great pick for them. I wish he could have fallen at 13, but oh, that's not the person I want to see twice a year, man. That guy is good. That's nice. That's nice.
Now, Ed Oliver was one of my favorite players in the entire draft, so I'm not going to knock it just because he's in a division rival's roster now. That is a very solid pick for the Buffalo Bills, and we're seeing a little theme here. A lot of defense alignment being taken in this AFC East. Now, Devin Bush was picked up on pick number 10, round 1, by the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is another one where it's just talent staring back at you in the face, a good all-around player. The same way I talked about Devin White, Devin Bush fills this void for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who of course lost Ryan Shazier with the horrible injury a few years ago. This will help him boost that defense. This is a great pick. He's a very dynamic, all-over-the-field type of player for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pick number 11, Jonah Williams was picked up by the Cincinnati Bengals. The only thing that was shocking about this is that there is a potential need for a quarterback. It really depends on how you view Andy Dalton. Dwayne Haskins was sitting right there. Drew Lock was sitting right there. But you know what? They elected to get Andy Dalton some help. I guess wait till a future draft and really wait to see if Andy Dalton is the guy. Now we go to pick number 12. The Green Bay Packers picked up Rashawn Gary. He is a very talented player. There's no doubting that. What shocked me a little bit is he had a labral tear that could potentially need surgery. I thought that would hurt his value a little bit more than it did, but apparently not. He was picked at pick number 12 by the Green Bay Packers. Now, pick number 13, the Miami Dolphins are on the board. Honestly, I was nervous as all hell. Like, it was crazy. Dwayne Haskins is right there. I frankly wasn't expecting him to fall. A lot of people weren't expecting him to fall. Drew Lock is also right there. And there's just Jawan Taylor still there on the offensive line. Christian Wilkins is there. There's just a bunch of talent. Montez Sweat. I was really curious to see which direction they were going to go, because we heard the quote from Chris Greer earlier that the Dolphins were not going to reach to take a quarterback just to take one. But where was that line drawn? You know, would they have reached for Kyler Murray? Would they have reached for Dwayne Haskins? Well, the answer to that was apparently not for Dwayne Haskins. He was sitting right there. Same thing goes for Drew Lock. They elected to stay put, invest in the trenches, get Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle out of Clemson, which is a great pick. Not only is he a force on the field, his personality is glowing. He is a tremendous person. He was so fun to watch. He basically tackled Roger Goodell when the news was called. This is a vital component to have in the locker room. You can't help but love this guy. He is a tremendous person. And this doesn't eliminate the possibility of the Dolphins potentially making a trade move for Josh Rosen. And it definitely keeps the tank for Tua idea still in the mix. It really shows that this is going to be a long process, but the Dolphins are going to do everything they can to do it right. They didn't go out and they didn't take a quarterback just to take one, as they warned us they would. But you know what? They did a good job. They picked a great player. He was very high on a lot of people's boards, and I am just excited to see how he interacts. His media days are going to be awesome. He's going to be great on the field. The run stop in Miami was a huge issue that plagued the team. He is going to help with all that. It's going to be interesting to see where they want him in this scheme, but I'm all on board for it. That was a great pick for the Miami Dolphins. Now we move on to pick number 14. The Atlanta Falcons again go for Chris Lindstrom, the guard out of Boston College, help get Matt Ryan some help. Pick 15, in comes Dwayne Haskins. He was a little bit mad about going after Daniel Jones, which was a massive shocker to everybody, but he gets picked up by the Washington Redskins. I'm frankly a little bit shocked that the teams before the Redskins didn't trade up to one of these earlier picks, but they were confident that Dwayne Haskins would fall to them. Alex Smith was lost with that terrible injury. There's no really idea when he's going to return, so they went out and they got the quarterback. Frankly, that is a great value pick for them. Pick 16, the Carolina Panthers go out and get Brian Burns, the edge out of Florida State. He was a favorite of a lot of players, so the fall was a little bit shocking. A lot of people had him much higher on their boards, so this was a good pick for the Carolina Panthers. The New York Giants, with the pick that they got from Odell Beckham being traded, go out and pick another Clemson defensive tackle, and that is Dexter Lawrence. Pick 18, the Minnesota Vikings get Garrett Bradbury, the center out of North Carolina. Tennessee gets the controversial pick of Jeffrey Simmons, a defensive tackle out of Mississippi State. He was regarded as probably the top or one of the top talents in the entire league, but he will probably miss his entire rookie season with a torn ACL, and there's some off-the-field issues. They said, despite all that, we see what he could be. The Tennessee Titans pick him at pick 19. Pick 20, the Denver Broncos get one of my favorite players in this entire draft. That's Noah Fant, the tight end out of Iowa. He is honestly one of my favorites. If I have to name a few players that I think will be superstars coming out of this draft, he is one of them. I've been comparing him to Travis Kelce. I think he is that good. The only thing that's a shame about is I don't really like who's going to be throwing him the ball in Denver for right now. Pick 21, the Green Bay Packers go get Darnell Savage, the safety out of Maryland. Help fill that need that was all of a sudden acquired when they lost Clinton Dix. Pick 22, the Eagles go and they invest in their offensive line. They get Andre Dillard, the tackle out of Washington. Pick 23, the Houston Texans get Titus Howard, the tackle out of Alabama State. Pick 24, the Oakland Raiders go out and get the best running back in this draft. That is Josh Jacobs, the running back out of Alabama. The Raiders are a team that is struggling to find a running back. Marshawn Lynch, who was just kind of a shell of his former self, retired. Jalen Richard is clearly not a guy who can handle a whole load. He is not a workhorse back. Doug Martin, the muscle hamster, you know, bless their soul. They go out and finally hope to fill this need they've had for some time with Josh Jacobs out of Alabama. That was at pick 24. Pick 25, the Baltimore Ravens, again, get a receiver, something that they've needed for years and years and years. They get Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, the cousin of Antonio Brown. Pick 25 for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson is loving that. Pick 26, Montez Sweat, the edge out of Mississippi State. The guy is huge. He is a force. The Washington Redskins are going to continue to focus on this defense, and they get a very good asset right there. Pick 27, the Oakland Raiders. How many picks do these guys got? They got Jonathan Abram, the safety out of Mississippi State. And then at pick 28, the Los Angeles Chargers go for Jerry Tillery, the defensive tackle out of Notre Dame. Pick 29, the Seattle Seahawks, LJ Collier, the defensive end out of Texas Christian. Pick 30th, the Giants, again, DeAndre Baker, the cornerback out of Georgia. This was a little curious because a lot of people thought Greedy Williams was the better cornerback, including myself. I preferred Greedy Williams. They go for DeAndre Baker. The cornerback position is definitely a need over there in New York. They go out and they get someone that they feel is a step in, immediate day one, plug in and fix their need right there. Pick 31, the Atlanta Falcons go for Caleb McGarry, the tackle out of Washington, again, helping out Matt Ryan there. And then the final pick of the first round, the New England Patriots, who lost Josh Gordon, who was really starting to show his bright side. They get N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver out of Arizona State. This is a big body guy, something that is non-stereotypical of what the Patriots do when it comes to their receivers. They get all these little tiny shifty guys. They go out there and they get someone who has a big body, but frankly, frankly, it has worked out for them. When they had Randy Moss, they looked tremendous. Malcolm Mitchell had a pretty solid role for his little bit there in New England. So hopefully N'Keal Harry could do something good out there in New England. So that just about wraps up my first round review. Little quick recap of all the 32 picks. I'm not going to do this for every round. Don't worry, guys. I would be completely out of breath, and I'm sure you guys don't want to hear it for all seven rounds of this. But it was fun. Just a notable picks. The Daniel Jones one was an absolute shocker. The Kyler Murray one was just something that I didn't think was going to happen, but I'm not shocked by it in the least. I'm very curious to see if Miami is able to trade something, because the fact that the trade hasn't happened yet is huge. That really matters a lot, because now it's clear the Cardinals lost a lot of leverage, because it's clear if you use the first overall pick on a quarterback, that means you're not even considering the other player. That is an instant loss of value for Josh Rosen, and will hopefully make it an easy snag in a trade if the Dolphins were able to do it. I'm a guy who has been huge on Josh Rosen. I still think he has something special. I think the little bit of a risk that comes with him is definitely outweighed by what could be a massive reward when it comes to Josh Rosen. And then other notes, the Farrell pickup by the Oakland Raiders, again, it was a little bit of a shocker. I know a lot of people were up in arms about it. I think he is extremely talented. Is it a bit of a reach? I would say so. I think they could have got him if they traded down. But I still think, you know, who am I to say that it is a bad pick? I thought he looked good on tape. And if they see something in him, then who am I to say that he is not the guy? And then the Dolphins pick with Christian Wilkins. The guy is an absolute character. He's awesome. He came out dancing, just mobbing Roger Goodell. He is awesome. I am very happy with this pick by the Miami Dolphins. And to wrap it up, I have a little bit of a mini rant that I recorded earlier today about Madden. They announced a cover athlete being Patrick Mahomes. So here's that. So the news going around is that Patrick Mahomes has been named the cover athlete for Madden 20. And I want to give my quick thoughts on that. A lot of people are saying that the Madden curse is going to happen to him now. Something that I've been very passionate about is how bad Madden is. To me, the only people who are cursed by Madden at this point are the consumers who have to pay $60 full price for what is an annual glorified roster update, because the game is so bad, guys. So let me get this off my chest right now. The game is so bad, and I've been playing Madden ever since the NFL exclusive license deal was acquired by EA. For those who don't know, 2K was also making a terrific game back in 2005. It was NFL 2K5, one of the best football games ever made, if not the best. The EA saw how good it was doing, and they decided to buy the NFL exclusive deal. So I've been playing Madden ever since then, since it became the only option available to NFL fans. What I can say is that it has been solid over the years, but it has gradually been declining, and it has gotten to a point right now with Madden 19 that it is one of the worst games I've ever played. I cannot pick up this game and enjoy it at all. It is so bad. And for a game that is graphically as good as it is, the gameplay is just so bad that I cannot pick it up and enjoy even like 10 minutes of it. It's just that bad. So those are my quick thoughts on that. I really hope the NFL opens its eyes up to what EA is. It's a game, it's a company that kills any game they get their hands on. FIFA right now is in turmoil. If you check their subreddit, everyone hates it. If you check Madden, everybody hates the game. They're using these Ultimate Teams modes as cash cows, and it's basically gambling, targeting these younger kids to spend their money on games that are released every single year. It is ridiculous. I really hope the NFL opens its eyes up, especially when you see games like Fortnite really taking off, games like Apex Legends taking off. The importance of video games right now, especially with the younger generations, if they really want to retain that fan base, I think is huge. And EA is just not the company that could do it. So I really hope the NFL opens its eyes up. That's my quick rant. So that is how I'm going to wrap up this very long, but hopefully was a fun episode for you guys. It was an awesome first round of the draft, and I will be keeping you guys updated. I'll definitely be touching a lot more on what Miami elects to do in the further rounds and just some other notable players as we can continue to proceed. So as always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow the podcast. That is at Via The Source. And again, I really appreciate all the downloads. It really helps make this a lot easier to do. Until next time, guys, I'm Steven Amasso, and this was Via The Source.